up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, powered by The Nation, and you're listening to episode 221 today, April 17th. We're recording. We took the week off last week, as now we are kind of into the spring sports side of things, where basketball season's over. It's really just baseball season, and then off-season basketball news. And so we're gonna, you know, maybe be taking a week off every now and then. If the news is a little bit slower, so kind of get used to that, but we'll still get you episodes when big things happen. And so right now we are recording to talk about a couple Texas Tech transfer portal in. We finally have some news on players that are coming to Texas Tech next year, joining Grant McCaslin and this squad and future Red Raiders. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the Scott Drew saga a little bit, since that happened last time we spoke. And everything that went on with that. And then we'll get into a little bit of baseball before we get out of this tailgate for this week. And to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks, you got to give us a follow. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars for the tailgate. And if you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. We always appreciate those reviews. Also, you can follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and interacting. But we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel. So go give us a follow on all of our social media accounts. And lastly, if you have anything for the tailgate, if you have anything you'd like us to discuss, any comments, questions, anything like that, you can always send us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. And so with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
We're going to start this thing off right. Raiders! Man, I've been waiting all my life to do that.
All right, Dustin, so since the last time we spoke, we had R.C. Maxfield on with us. We discussed Pop Isaacs hitting the transfer portal, other various players hitting the transfer portal, and now it's a little bit more set. We know the Red Raiders that are returning next year, and it was already pretty much assumed, but yesterday Darian Williams did give us the nod with a post saying that he is indeed running it back with the Red Raiders for year two. With the squad. So just kind of your thoughts on, you know, everybody already knew he was pretty much coming back and there was no worry about him transferring out, but it was nice to actually have it confirmed.
I guess that's where I sit, was I didn't know he wasn't officially back, and now it's official.
I think it's more of like he was officially back. I just think if you don't, in this day and age, if you don't like post anything with confirmation, you just leave people to speculate. And so I think like it's
probably just
one of those
still getting
things,
hit up left. Oh, yeah. You know, here or there, like, hey, you want to ditch and come over here? And he probably just wanted to squash all that.
But, yeah, I can imagine, because, you know, if there's a chance, teams are going to reach out, agents are going to reach out, you know. And so now you just kind of cut out the distractions and start focusing on building this team around. Yeah. Darian Williams for next year. And so obviously he was your best player at the end of the season in the way that he could do just about everything, how efficient he was on the offensive side of the ball, was what your best shot the three ball around 48%, which was crazy, but also one of your most versatile players. And so the team in the exit meetings, from everything RC said, it was pointing in the direction of running things through Darian Williams. And so that confirmation was nice. Last week, or not last week, but the week before, while we were talking to RC Maxfield in our interview, news broke that Devin Cambridge was entering the transfer portal. And so a little bit of chaos ensued in that recording as RC was getting blown up with texts trying to figure out what was going on there. His sources were kind of telling him it's just a NIL ploy to try to get some more money. And well, he's in the portal for a couple days and withdraws from the portal and is returning. Dustin, your thoughts on the Devin Cambridge mini saga?
Yeah, that was wild. Cause last time we talked 2 weeks ago, I interrupted us and was like, Cambridge is in the portal.
Yeah.
And RC's phone went wild. Yeah. He was in there for like a day and a half and then I'm back. Wow. Yeah. Like, all right, cool. I think he was also getting hit up left and right, or maybe people in his corner were wanting him to go searching for what was out there, you know, NIL money.
I think his and situation I don't think anybody,
once he floated his name out there, had money to offer a guy who's 6 year senior with a knee, serious knee injury.
Yeah.
That you're also not even getting all year, probably. Like, we probably won't get him till January, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he quickly realized what I have in my hand at Tech is already better than what I could go fishing around for.
Yeah, the whole situation was odd. You know, like we had done a podcast right before with RC saying what players we were most confident in returning. Devin was like my number one, and he was your number two. He was right up there on top of the list of players that we expected. So it was a little shocking. But yeah, I think he wanted to see the market or maybe try to get a little bit more money from us and realize that there's not a lot of people that want his services. Cause like you said, coming off an ACL injury, he's not really expected to play non-conference basketball. So it's going to be like getting reacclimated to a whole new situation. You're not going to get a practice or really play with the team until the season's already begun. At least here, you're already familiar with everything. You're familiar with the coaching staff. You know what they want. It's just like the best option. It really would have made no sense. And it would have been shocking if any team was actually like trying to drop him a bag for his, you know, half a year service. And so odd situation, but it is good to have him back. It's just another piece that you get to have on this roster. A guy, like we said, familiarity with the program, knows what McCaslin wants. And in his short time that we got to see him last year, was a pretty good player for you. So just another piece to the puzzle that you have returning. And so ultimately the guys you got coming back right now, you've got Darian, you've got Devin Cambridge, you've got Kerwin Walton, who's still, he hasn't sent out a I'm coming back post yet, but he's still believed to be returning. Chance McMillan is believed to be returning. Emily Yolaho is believed to be returning. And then, of course, you got like Jack Francis and we got that walk on kid. So
we got 2 weeks until the portal's closed.
Names entering
at the end of the month.
Names entering every day. Interesting names.
It's wild, man. Day. Like, there were some big names that entered over the week and like from big schools too. And like, I just don't know how coaches keep up with it. Cause like, you know, NFL and NBA, like you have a certain deadline to re-sign guys and then a couple weeks to figure stuff out. And then, you know, a month later, then free agency opens. Like, this is just a free for all. Like,
do you think NCAA? Do you think NCAA would benefit from like a free agency date? Like you can allow the transfer portal to open and you can allow communications and stuff like that. But like kind of NBA free agency does, it's like, all right, now here on July 4th at 4 p.m., you can start announcing the deals. I think it might benefit from something like that.
I think it's like, it's too fluid with like a 6 week window of it being open. And then guys start getting recruited and then other guys get upset at their situation. Now they leave and now you change that whole team roster building dynamic.
Like the Texas roster, they got three portal guys and then immediately Tyrese Hunter.
And I'm like, there's no way Dylan Mitchell's pissed that they signed this Indiana State kid, but I guess he is.
Texas is like, you know what sounds good? Let's run with the team who didn't make the tournament last year and, you know, was in a subpar.
That was like the big example in my head and was like, how do you try to fit this together? And then your two big starters leave and like, it's a little mess. Yeah. There needs to be like a less of a window to get in and then a signing period afterwards.
Yeah. Allow the,
there shouldn't be all movement enter at the same time.
Yeah, because like it makes it difficult to recruit because you're, you know, I keep hearing, you know, there's players that haven't yet hit the portal that Texas Tech will be interested in. And it's like, so what if they don't end up hitting the portal? Now you're just going to Like, oh, or then what if they hit the portal,
we
go
get him, and now Kevin Overton's pissed.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just, it makes no sense how it's done. And like, yeah, like you said, it's you got your eyes on somebody, you bring them in, and oh, now Kerwin Walton's pissed, and now Kerwin Walton wants to hit the portal. And so I think, like, you got to take that account with all these transfers and try to make sure you're keeping the guys you got there happy. But at the same time, you need to get dudes, because everybody else is just lining themselves up with a bunch of really important transfers. But, you know, this transfer portal window will end, like you said, in 2 weeks. And then there's the grad transfer, who people who graduate in May will be able to enter their name as a grad transfer. And so,
yeah, there's like, no like deadline for them.
There's no deadline for them. And that's how you got Joe Toussaint last year. That's how you got Warren Washington.
And you'll keep like one in the bag just in case for someone like that. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, this, it's too fluid right now. We got to have a stop date for entering the portal and then a signing date after that.
Yeah. And I think from like a television show and stuff perspective, like everything nowadays is so like, you know, we've got to have these shows in this time. Like, it would be NBA free agency. Like, it already is the NBA free agency on steroids, but just imagine a day where, all right, at 4 at 5 p.m. on May whatever, you can start announcing your deals, and like just everybody on tech Twitter would be waiting.
Boom.
Like, who do we got?
That would be sick. Yeah.
It would be sick. It would be sick.
And then you'd be kind of a flood of people. Oh, yeah. That'd be crazy.
So anyway, all that kind of talk, we do have transfers to talk about. And so Texas Tech finally getting on the board. I know a lot of people were getting a little impatient when you're seeing teams like Texas, Kansas State, Kansas's landing transfers kind of left and right. And yet Texas Tech hadn't landed one yet, but the first one comes in, and his name, Kevin Overton, transfer from Drake. He transfers in with 3 years of eligibility. He's a 6'5" guard, comes in after a pretty solid freshman campaign, a freshman season where he started all 35 games for Drake last year on a team that made it to the NCAA tournament, was kind of one of the darling teams in the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, didn't get the job done in round one, but was a starter on that team, a conference all-freshman team he made as a freshman. Averaged 11.3 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, 1.1 assists per game, and shot the three ball about 34.6%, so 35%. That's pretty good. You're going to take those numbers. He's a lefty, so if you haven't seen any film from him, he's a lefty. Dustin, your thoughts on the first commit for Grant McCaslin and his staff in this year's transfer portal?
Yeah, sweet lefty is the first thing I wrote down after watching some highlights of him. He's got a nice little step back jumper. He can also get to the rim, so that's good. Both very efficient in those things. Mm-hmm. I also just like that you're getting a sophomore that literally played 30-plus games as a freshman. It's like,
it's the Darian Williams minutes, type.
Lots of experience just in 1 year as a freshman. So, like, coming in as a sophomore, like, doesn't seem like just a second-year guy with what he's got so far. And, yeah, you got some length at guard at 6'5", like, getting out of the small guard situation. And the other thing is, like I said, efficient shooting, but also just efficient with the basketball. Do you know he had only 18 turnovers all year last year?
Yeah, that's nice.
That's incredible. Half a turnover a game, basically. That's incredible.
That's stuff you need.
Really love what you got out of a guy. And there's an easy NIL deal with a hotel in town.
Yeah. It was made to happen. I was joking around how we should have gone to have drinks at the Overton that evening to celebrate him committing to Texas Tech. Yeah, I really liked watching his game. You know, I was watching some of his film from last year earlier just to kind of refamiliarize myself with him before we did this. And really just nice overall. His offensive game, he's always in control. He's, like you said, he's got that size so he can go in and attack and hit some tough shots around the rim. He's got nice three-point touch. And like you said, doesn't turn the ball over. He's going to be one of the guards. He's not going to be like a primary ball handler or anything like that, but you're going to be able to use him to create some offense. It looks like he can get his own shot if he needs to. he really is. And I think there's something you can kind of identify with Grant McCaslin and what he's looking for. He's like, all right, who came in as a young player and like the Darian Williams type, off the Mountain West freshman of the year, you know, this guy, all freshman conference team,
yep.
Like guys like that. He's trying to identify who can come and in
productive as a freshman. Mm-hmm,
exactly. Not just putting up, you know, dud numbers, like actually out there and a big part of the team. And I really liked watching him. He did not look like a freshman to me out there on the court when I was watching his highlights. I'm like, that looks like a sophomore junior guy who's been in college basketball for a couple years. So he's definitely very college basketball, like basketball intellect is way up there. Really excited about them. I know our guy RC was very hyped that we got him. He was very high on yes. Kevin Overton. So this was a huge get. You were battling Oklahoma for him, really. That's what it came down to, was you and OU, and I guess his return to Drake. A good sign that you win him over Oklahoma. West Virginia was also after him because his coach is now the West Virginia coach. So a big find for Grant McCaslin. Fits the kind of type of player that you just expect great things for him. Like if he follows the Darian Williams model, and can bring that potential, you've got yourself a really good player here. And as we mentioned, 3 years of eligibility. Yes. Any other thoughts you had on Mr. Overton?
No, I'm excited for him, man.
Yeah, excited for him. A guard that you added. You need a lot of guards, you know, a lot of versatile guards.
Yeah.
And with that size and that length, that 6'5" size, that's going to be able to guard, you know, 1 through 3. It's stuff that you really need, something that we've kind of gone away from these last couple years. So welcome to Lubbock, Texas and Texas Tech, Mr. Kevin Overton. We're excited to watch you in a Red Raider uniform, in the Adidas uniform. Do you think it's kind of odd to, like, they do all these visits and they have the Texas Tech Under Armour jerseys on, yet you know, like, in a month or two, it's going to be Adidas?
Yeah, nothing you can do about it. But yeah, that is an awkward situation I didn't think about.
Just every time I see the
Well, other, I guess I get like to say, hey, yeah, the jerseys and accessories and whatnot, they'll be a little better in a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what that's like going on. Hey, yeah, wear this jersey, but you're not going to wear that next year. We're going to have completely different jerseys, but, you know, something I've kind of noticed. But the next commit we got today, Federico, same name twice. That'll be easy for the Red Raider Nation to get used to. We were in our little group chat debating on what his nickname's going to be. Did we come to a conclusion? What was your?
I've just looked on Twitter and Fede looks like what people have called him before.
Fede, okay.
The big, because I like on his 24/7 page, it's Fede Federico.
Fede, okay. So we'll go with Fede. It sounds, you know, easier to say Fede. And so welcome in Fede Federico from University of Pitt. He comes in with 1 year left of eligibility, so we'll only get him for 1 year, but he comes in standing at 6'11", so you got some size, much needed size, 225 pounds. He's also from Finland, so using that Finland connection there you have with Emily Yolahu, hopefully, you know, that was a big reason of getting him here. He averaged 4.7 points per game, 5.2 rebounds per game, 1.3 blocks per game. Started 53 of 68 games for Pitt in his 2 seasons there. Some of the more interesting stats, because like if you read those points and rebounds, you might not be blown away with those, but he was he had a 7.1 block percentage, which was good for second in the ACC. So he was a premier rim protector in one of the best college basketball conferences. He has an 11.8 offensive rebounding percentage. So one of the things that we struggle at, rebounding and especially offensive rebounding, and you add some a guy who's really good and elite at that, and you also add a guy who had the 11th overall defensive rating in the ACC conference with a rating of 100.5. So Dustin, a big man finally being added to the roster after losing Warren Washington, after losing a lot of size and not having really much size to begin with last year. What are your thoughts on landing the 6'11 big man from Pitt?
Yeah, you got a big, tall, big man with some length to him. Like you said, played 2 years at Pitt, so 2 years in the ACC, playing against a lot of big dudes there, obviously, like especially the Dukes of North Carolina type dudes. But yeah, you mentioned everything, like the shot blocking, and the thing I had written down was offensive rebounder.
Yeah.
He averaged like 2.5 offensive rebounds a game. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
If you know basketball, like
that's 2-3 extra possessions that you're getting for your team. Yeah. Game.
So he's using that length and those long arms to get in people's faces and hands on the ball, and then make some tips and get some offensive rebounds. So that's really clutch. Yeah, that one I didn't expect to come down the pipe today. So that was a very good, you know, surprise during lunchtime that, you know, Fede committed. So that's awesome. Yeah, we need length. Need another guy to add with him down low. But yeah, we would love having him here.
Yeah, always can't have enough size, especially after last season, after what we had to go through with that. Like, I expect us to be pursuing a couple other big guys. This guy's not going to necessarily, you know, I don't think he's necessarily a Warren Washington type. Like, especially offensively. Like, no. Warren wasn't great offensively, but, you know, he could knock down a shot. He could have some nice post-up moves.
Warren was big enough, like, weight-wise, to be able to create his own hook shot, bank shot, whatever, you know. Fede is not quite that thick.
I think what he's going to be is more of a he's going to be offensive rebound putbacks, offensive rebound dunks. He's going to be pick and roll.
He's your Tariq Owens type.
Tariq Owens was a little bit more than that. I mean, he could knock down three, knock down shots.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not going to knock down any shots.
Like running the rim. Kind of
shocked. Yeah,
and he's shot just blocking out rebounding.
He will be an elite pick and roll guy, which is what RC was kind of talking about in his video about him, which was, he's going to be really good at that. That's what you're going to need him for offensively. And maybe he was kind of misused at Pitt on the offensive side. We obviously know what he can bring to the table defensively, and that's something that you're going to need, that defensive anchor. But can he get some pick and rolls for you, some lob dunks, be a threat to be a rim runner? Can he provide you that? And then whatever he can expand on in his offensive game, obviously, is going to be a plus. Because at the beginning, Warren Washington didn't look like he was going to be able to do much for you offensively other than that. But he ended up being kind of a solid guy around the rim for you, especially when he was healthy. And so those are your first two additions in the portal. We had 8 scholarships to give. 2 of them have been given. So there's still 6 spots remaining on the roster. Dustin, how would you like to see these kind of 6 spots filled? We obviously got some guards. There's still a lot of we need more size, but how would you like to see these 6 spots be handled?
Well, first off, it's nice to just, you'd be able to feel the team on the court right now, finally.
Yeah.
You can play. You have enough dudes to run 3-on-3 at this point in practice. So that's great. Usage wise, yeah, I mean, you still need another 7-foot type dude in the middle. Probably another power forward type, possibly. And then I would think a ball handling point guard.
Yeah.
And then the other spots you can kind of feel out what is out there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I know right now one of the emphasis is on trying to find you a point guard. It's obviously a role that you need to fill with Joe Toussaint and Pop Isaacs not being here anymore. You're going to need somebody to fill that role. I don't really know who we're targeting in that position right now. It seems like the two guys that we had the most information on, we just got to commit. There's a Wyoming kid that we're kind of backing off on, I heard, because – they feel like his position will be redundant to what we already have on the roster.
Yeah.
And so right now I really don't know who we're looking at, you know, point guards that have entered the portal recently. They're Tyrese Hunter from Texas would be a guy I know we've reached out to, but I'm not sure what the interest is there. I know he'll be probably a highly coveted guy, and it might be too much out of our price range to get him.
Yeah. That's the other thing is he might be looking for a lot as well. I mean, I know he got a lot going to Texas, but I don't think his, you know, I don't think his collegiate ceiling or professional ceiling improved at Texas as much as it did beforehand. So he might not get as much either. But yeah, I would love Tyrese Hunter because super experienced guard, especially in the Big 12, and more length than what you had at that position before, and efficiency. So that'd be my best target. But yeah, whether we can land him, I don't know.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what the asking price is for him, or if he's even interested in coming to play here. You know, that's the other thing. But certain guys just might not even want to come play here.
You can kind of see what this McCaslin mainly and what Buffington's putting together, like who they are targeting, is like one, length. Like, we're not going to be small and short again. And then two, we did it last year and then trying to do it again this year, is like efficient players.
Yeah.
Part of the reason Pop's not with us anymore is because there was a little disagreement there on volume over efficiency, and we want more efficient players shooting, you know, 35, closer to 40% from the 3-point line and finishing at the rim and not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Which I like those things. I like asking those things.
I would prefer my player scoring 16 points on like while not missing 10 threes, you know, I want like the Darian
length,
Williams types.
Who length and efficiency are the two like attributes I think they're really looking for.
Yeah. Those are the attributes. And they obviously want guys who have been on winning teams and winning programs and have experience winning, you know, two guys. You got Kevin Overton on a successful team that made the NCAA tournament. Pitt was fourth place in the ACC. They didn't make the tournament, but they did last year when Feedy was playing for him. And so I think, you know, you obviously have a type with that. And so it'll be interesting to see. Like right now, the news is kind of slow after getting these two guys to commit. I think we're obviously still putting feelers out. Like you said, there's still 2 weeks, so there's still going to be a lot of names that are hitting the portal that are going to be guys that you're going to be interested in. And then there's the grad transfers. And so you could be looking for another Joe Toussaint to kind of come in here, another Warren Washington to kind of fill some of those spots. And so I'm sure there's guys that they're familiar with and using that Buff connection. I know Barnwell, our assistant coach, was a huge connection on getting Overton because he coached him in high school.
And there's another guy in the portal that he coached too. That's pretty large.
There's a few. And so like that's kind of why you get these guys, is they got to be able to come in and recruit and get talent here. That was one of the big selling points on hiring them, was, hey, Luke Barnwell coached a lot of really good players, and Buff is really connected in the AAU scene. And so we'll see if any of those connections pan out in landing some of these players. But unfortunately, a lot of the guys that they have connections with are just really sought after players and
expensive,
very expensive.
I mean, the Indiana big man, that's like the number one portal guy. Came from Arizona to Indiana, was asking like 1.2.
Yeah, Balu.
Million dollars.
Yeah. Insane.
And I don't know what he got from Indiana, but that's just what was allegedly being thrown out there of asking price.
Oh, I bet he got it.
Maybe he got one, but we just wanted to go play there. But like,
It's a really interesting thing to just kind of monitor, because I know Hunter Dickinson got a huge bag for Kansas, and I wonder like if they regret that. But then you see them out here, they're throwing bags around to a bunch of players again. So it seems like they're not kind of taking that warning. It's like, hey, you paid, I don't know how many million for Hunter Dickinson to go play there to only get out of the first round in the NCAA tournament. That's like not what Kansas is paying Hunter Dickinson for. And so lessons learned on NIL yet? Doesn't really seem like it. Bags will be thrown. And like we've talked about, you know, it might not always work out just because it's a name. It doesn't always mean that it's going to be great if you're just throwing names together because they were good at their former place. So will be interesting to see. That's kind of all we've got transfer portal related right now. As we said, it's kind of slowed down after those two guys committed. There's guys that we're in talks with, but go ahead.
Just a quick note, and this goes for not targeting anybody, but goes for football and basketball, transfer out. I'm tired of seeing thank you, but I'm leaving graphics from these dudes that have been at places 1 or 2 years.
Thank you, Red Raider Nation.
I'm sick of it. You're leaving. You're breaking up with us, you know? Like, if you were 3, maybe 4 years, like, extended period of time, great. Or my at the end of your career to go back and think, but like 1 or 2 years, you should have a little pit stop. You don't need to be like, thanks Lubbock, thanks Red Raider Nation, all this stuff. Cause you've seen like with a couple basketball dudes and now football's coming out and it's like this red shirt defensive tackle that never played. Come on, like, man.
Who?
Like, oh, bad, I'm sick of like, you got to get a graphic out thinking Tech and Lubbock and whatnot. Like
graphic season, man. You got to let them know.
Say you're entering the portal and leave.
So I'm in the portal. Bye. Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous. And then I hate like people on Twitter wishing you nothing but the best.
Love you. Miss you. Wish you nothing but the best. Good luck. Nothing but the
best guy I never met. Guy I never met and only watched on my TV screen or at the games.
Yeah, that's my like, gripe of the day.
Like you'll never see us tweeting like there's a couple players like we like TJ and you know we wish him nothing but the best, but we're never gonna be like, hey, yeah, I love you, man. And we never met any of these guys. I don't know any of them personally. I appreciated cheering for them, but they're leaving me, and you know I don't really care for that anymore. So I don't wish them the best because the best might be them being better than us. Yeah. Or going to a school that's going to compete against us. So I don't really wish them their best.
We don't need a like graphic for you leaving.
Yeah. I was thinking about making a graphic of us like, we are run it back, season tickets renewed.
I was just looking over my notes. I was like, oh, yeah, I have one more thing written down on transfers. Quit making graphics.
It's all about the graphic game. Like, I wonder how many people's jobs just – to make graphics for transfers outs and transfer ins and stuff like that. Oh, just get on Canva. You can do it pretty easily there. Anyway, so the last little bit of news that we had to talk about, this happened last week, obviously, and we did not record last week. Thank goodness we didn't have to hop on and record.
Oh, man.
But we did want to discuss the Coach Cal getting poached from Arkansas, going from Kentucky to Arkansas. This starting with the USC coach going to SMU, then Musselman going from Arkansas to USC, and then Arkansas whiffing on Beard and who else did they whiff on? Jerome Tang and Will Wade. Like they whiffed on all these coaches, which all of a sudden led them to Coach Cal, who has a lifetime contract at Kentucky, but he obviously knew that the waters weren't super smooth at that university after him losing a lot of early round tournament games. And so Coach Cal takes the Arkansas job, which means Kentucky's job is available. And the number one coach on the top of the list, apparently, well, besides Bobby Hurley, which wasn't ever going to happen. Number two on the list was Scott Drew. The Baylor head coach. And when that became news, it kind of obviously perked up Red Raider Nation as, hey, Grant McCaslin used to coach at Baylor. If there is a Baylor opening, is Grant McCaslin going to be highly considered? And then the reports came out that he would be target number one. And so the writing kind of came to see on the wall that if Scott Drew takes his job, we are going to be without a basketball coach for the third straight season. Three coaches in 3 years, not as sustainable if you want to continue to succeed in college basketball. So Dustin, as all this was kind of transpiring, this news was breaking and all this, Scott Drew he's on a plane to Lexington. Oh my gosh. We're waiting to figure out if his wife wants it. What was your thoughts going on in your mind as this was kind of unfolding?
Man, I never thought we would be sitting around cheering for Baylor and Scott Drew and hoping he would stay, like hoping the best coach in our conference would stay and coach against us more.
Yeah. Felt odd. That's for sure. Like,
oh yeah. The coach that's been there 20 years and national champion and, you know, gets lottery picks now in recruiting every year. Yeah. We want him to stay and not take this bigger, better job that usually would be bigger, better. Like, it was wild. Like, I just still can't believe Cal went to Arkansas first.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that in a second. But then, yeah, I was kind of, I guess, already just down in the dumps about, man, if this really happens, because Grant probably goes, and we're just, it would have been detrimental is the word that was in my head.
Yeah, like, devastating. Just absolutely detrimental,
devastating. Because, yeah, you're going through, what, your third coach in 4 years now?
Three and four and five.
Yeah, there you go. And, like, man, that's just not good for the sustainability, like, of the outlook from players to what the program is and trying to come here. And so, like, and then, like, we don't have a guy in line, kind of like we did in McCaslin last year. Like, you know, he had Tech ties, and was a hot coaching name last year, and, like, kind of locked him up before the NIT was over. And, like, that would have just really sucked. Like, he'd never even got his wheels really put down and moving for us. And
yeah,
would have already been out the door. And I couldn't have blamed him because, yeah, he played there. He's got a degree from there. Literally, like, we're 1B on the list for him, you know. And it couldn't have been the worst time because, you know, now that Scott Drew's staying at Baylor, he's never leaving. That's pretty cemented.
Yeah, yeah. There's four jobs that you leave for. There's Kentucky, UNC, Duke, Kansas, and he said no to one of the four. He's not going to say yes to any of those.
Right. So he's there 15 more years, and then he retires. Well, by that time, Grant McCaslin has set down roots and cemented.
You know, hopefully.
Hopefully he's here that year, that long. But, like, we need him to be here, like, at least, you know, 5, 6, 8 years to really set down a big program that's known.
We need at least a beard run.
Before he has to start making a difficult decision on trying to leave. This wouldn't have been a difficult decision to leave, to go to Baylor. I know people don't want to hear that, but it wouldn't have been for him. Because he was only here 1 year. He wasn't stuck down yet. It's just facts.
Played there. It all just lined up. It was like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen again to us where we're going to lose our coach to his alma mater. Where he played, where he coached under Scott Drew for several years. It would have been really hard to say no to that. Like, if it was me, unless you were going to pay me a shit ton more money and you're going to be like, all right, we're going to drop bags and IL wise for you or whatever. I don't know whatever Tech would have had it done to keep him here. I just started feeling sick to my stomach. I was just like, no, not again, man. Just not again. Like,
and the other thing I just remembered, and I have had this in my head, this is a secondary coaching carousel.
Yeah.
Like, the first wave already happened over a month ago. So you've missed, if this did happen, and now you're looking for a coach, now you've missed out on, you know, the other Baylor coach that went to FAU. I don't know who else is even out there to think of, but, like,
yeah, you
missed out on the first wave of guys moving up that you could have went to go get. And so that also even would have stuck, like, screwed you more.
Yeah, your options, I don't know how great they would have been. You would have
had a retirement.
You had to go, like, Richard Pitino, the New Mexico kid, like, go with him because bring some of your you guys with you. Yeah, go like that route to do it. But yeah, I was going to be devastated if that happened. Like, I don't know how much my will to continue to support Tech basketball would have been there if, like, we're just going to have to keep doing this. Like, it was tough. It was a tough, like, just kind of thinking the writing was on the wall. We got a text from in our group chat that was like, I'm ready to get hurt today, guys. And I was like, oh no, Scott Drew's gonna say yes.
Yeah, Wednesday night and Thursday morning sucked.
It was not good. and then all of a sudden two big pieces of news dropped. OJ died and Scott Drew's returning to Baylor.
Yes.
It was like right boom boom. I was like, all right, this is gonna be a day. I was just super relieved, you know. I really like McCaslin. I really what he's brought to this this program, his fan base, the staff, everything. And you knew that if he leaves, the staff's gone. Darian Williams is gone. You're going to have to build from scraps yet again. I just didn't want to have to do that again. And it's really nice. And it's one of those really odd situations where nobody was right, nobody's wrong in this. I was on the Scarlet and Black Insider, and people were having a source off on. My source told me that Grant was going to stay. My source told me that Grant was going to go. I'm like, none of y'all were right. None of y'all were wrong. Like, Scott Drew said no, and Grant's here, and we have no clue what Grant would have done. I think we all kind of know that he probably would have taken it, but who knows? Only Grant McCaslin knows that. Only Grant and his family know what he was going to do if that opportunity presented
itself. I bet he was even, you know, praying, just stay so I don't have to make this decision.
Yeah, it would have been tough because they just, you know, he's got kids. They just moved them all out here. They got a nice house. His wife played here and has connections to Tech. It would have been a pretty tough decision for them. I'm glad he didn't have to make it. And I'm glad that we get to keep Grant McCaslin on staff. And I'm glad Baylor is locked in Scott Drew for the foreseeable future, because he is the one, that is the one program that I was scared of scooping Grant from us. And like you said, we don't have to worry about that for a minute.
The funniest tweet, and I'm looking for it. I kind of have it in my head, because the BYU coach, Mark Pope, ended up going to Kentucky.
Yeah, that's the next domino.
Like, Scott Drew posted this graphic of, hey, God really wants me to stay, me and my family at Baylor. And the best tweet I saw was, you know, God telling Scott Drew to stay at Baylor, but telling Mark Pope to leave BYU has me really confused and conflicted.
It's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Different religions. Different religions. Yeah.
So. I love that one, though.
Yeah. But, man, what a late coaching carousel that was. Like we mentioned, Musselman leaving Arkansas to USC. That's a big domino. Cal to Arkansas is just crazy, because Arkansas, Tyson Chicken founders are just hey, we want Coach Cal. We're going to pay money and get Coach Cal over here and then give him all this freaking NIL money. And then Mark Pope to BYU. So any thoughts on those two big dominoes there at the end, because we got a glimpse of what Mark Pope could do at BYU, and kind of glad he's out of there.
Yeah, I'd go sticking on that. Like, I don't think the Kansas or not Kentucky fans are looking at what Mark Pope has done at BYU, because they're kind of shitting on him from what I could tell, just because they want a big, flashy, super experienced type guy. Mark Pope's been a hell of a coach at BYU from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Now he hadn't gotten out of the first round of the tournament, but give him some resources at Kentucky and maybe a little level up in players. Hey. And like, I know we've done the, hey, he played here deal. I think that means a little more when you're a Kentucky basketball player that won a national championship.
Yeah.
Like, you really know what they expect and what you got to do. Like,
yeah, that's a crazy fan base.
On that point, and I listened to some interviews, that's basically why Cal left. Like,
yeah.
And he even said himself, like, they just needed a new voice.
Yeah.
Basically, just the time had run out. Like, it just was spinning wheels. You know, administration and boosters weren't really into the NIL side of things as much as they should have been. And fan base, they just want a national championship or you suck. Yeah. Like, man.
And Cal believes in, hey, I'm getting guys to the NBA. Like, look at all the guys on the NBA that I put there, you know. That's what he views as a win, not the winning there. And so,
and I mean, it's a weird spot for him to be in, because, like, yeah, the last 15 years, you've been a great coach and had a lot of great players and teams, won a national championship, a lot of Final Fours. And, yeah, I think it just kind of ran its course type deal. So I don't blame him. And you go to a place like Arkansas that doesn't have expectations. That's going to be kind of nice.
They're going to have expectations now.
Sure. But nothing to stand on with besides a stack of money. You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. Cal does look really weird in red, though. Or that dark shade of red, especially.
So used to blue with Memphis and Kentucky.
So I don't... When it was happening Saturday night, I was like, no way. This is fake Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
And got home from, you know, being out at Winefest and all kinds of stuff. And Sure enough, it's on SportsCenter.
Yeah, I remember seeing like a tweet, and it was like an unverified account, and so you can't trust any of those these days, you know, because it's always like somebody just doing fake shit just to piss people off on Twitter. But and then like a couple actual people in the know, like Trilly Donovan, a couple others were like, hey, there's some actually smoke to this. And that shit happened fast. It was like, hey, there's rumors of it. And then it was like, all right, Cal's going to Arkansas. And like you said, it makes sense. I can't remember who the coach who said it was, but it's like every 10 years you need like a new voice. Like, like sometimes it, the same voice.
Coach Cal said it himself.
He said it. And so I agree with that. I think he needed a fresh start. I think Kentucky fans wanted that fresh start. He had the lifetime contract. And so this was the best way to part, was by going and taking another job.
Not getting killed.
Not and then leaving Kentucky. And I think this was a humbling for Kentucky because they think they can get whoever they want to. As a coach, we can get Bobby Hurley, we can get Scott Drew, but even they were getting no's. And then they kind of had to settle on Mark Pope, who was like their fifth or sixth. But like you said, I agree with you. I really respect Mark Pope as a coach, and you kind of need a guy who's familiar with Kentucky and that fan base to go in there and coach, because following up Coach Cal, it's not going to be easy. That's why I think Scott Drew said no. It's like, man, I got a maid here at Baylor. Like, I've got to royally mess things up to lose this job when I can go to Kentucky in 1 year and just be miserable, you know?
Yeah, and that was going to be my other point, was Kentucky thought they'd, you know, just go get Bobby Hurley and Scott Drew and wash their hands and, all right, we'll stay on top of the mountain. Hey, this is NIL time now, and you know Nate Oates is like, I got plenty of money here, they're gonna give me Scott Drew. Like, a lot of these coaches passed because they already got good programs established with good NILs, you know, and moving would hurt that. And that was also part of Kentucky's gripe with Cal, and NIL wasn't as much there as it should have been.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like I mentioned earlier, it's like there's four jobs that you would, like, I would always expect people to just take, you know, Duke, Kentucky, UNC, Kansas, you know, maybe UConn's kind of entered that.
UCLA is probably still in there.
UCLA.
Like the super blue bloods with.
Yeah. But I don't really know if that's.
That was 10 years ago. Yeah. That, prior. Now with NIL, it's almost ever changing. Like
that, and then the pressure and the pressure, probably, I think more of it, you know, for, especially if you've built a solid program like Scott Drew has at Baylor, where you won a national title, you built a stadium, like you get legit
lottery picks
reason
coming through every year.
You're the legit reason that this program is successful is you. Why would you leave that to go try to, you know, I get the challenge and the competition of it, but like you said, in this day and age, it's just doesn't really make sense anymore. You know, unless it's like a, like you're going up from a level to the power five or whatever. I don't really see why you would do that unless you're leaving for a program with better NIL and, like you said, small expectations. So, a crazy coaching carousel that luckily lands with Texas Tech not in the mix.
Safe.
Avoiding that, you know, just after 2 weeks ago, we were talking about ready for drama free offseason. and then that almost derailed the whole entire offseason. But we're back on the tracks. Grant McCaslin and the staff is back at it. As we said, we've got recruits. We're out there talking to players. And so we'll be here to talk more about those players as they commit and as more news breaks for the basketball team. But last little basketball thing that we haven't talked about since is, you know, UConn won the national championship. Your boy here won the nation's bracket challenge. So,
woo, that a boy!
Shout out to me. Any quick thoughts you wanted to get off on the domination of UConn in this back-to-back national championships?
No, it wasn't even close. I even went to bed at halftime of that game. One, I was hella tired from the weekend. Two, it started at 8:30 on a Monday night, so that's terrible.
Stupid.
But yeah, they just dominated. They probably had the best, one of the best 2 year runs historically with this group and Hurley, and like having to even change over some pieces from last year to this year and still winning games by like 15 plus in the tournament, even yeah. deep into the tournament. That's great. I mean, UConn's won like what, 5 national championships, 6 national championships in the last 25 years.
Yeah, 5 or 6, something like that. They're up there now.
It's crazy. It's awesome though.
Yeah. Really impressive. And like, you go back to the last team that won back to backs is that Florida team. And they brought back like the majority of their team.
Right.
Like, UConn brought back a few parts, but you know, they lost several guys to the NBA. And so they had to fill the gaps, and they came out and did the exact same thing to everybody. So shout out to UConn, back-to-back national champs. Now college basketball is fully in the off season. So as we mentioned, we'll be back to bring any more Texas Tech basketball news as it hits. We'll probably be taking off next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks to touch on anything that's changed there. But before we get out of this tailgate for this week, let's head over to the Diamond, talk a little Texas Tech baseball, and then hit our final shots before we get out. Well, Dustin, it's been a roller coaster of a baseball season for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And just when they were in the up side of the roller coaster with a sweep over Houston, setting the home run record for with hitting 9 home runs against ACU and going on like a 7-game win streak, I think, that culminated on Friday night with a win over TCU. You're feeling great all of a sudden. Hey, maybe we figured some things out. And then you lost 2 straight to TCU in pretty tough fashion. And then you go into the number 2 team in the country in Arkansas and Fayetteville in the midweek series and give Arkansas a run for their money, but come up empty handed with 2 more losses, now at a 4-game losing streak. And, you know, good teams that you were facing, but frustrating losses nonetheless. Your thoughts on Texas Tech baseball right now, as it's kind of a up in the air or not, if we're going to actually be able to make a postseason run or not.
Yeah, you could have ended up Sunday at the top of the Big 12 standings and couldn't edge out TCU in like a 4-3 game at home.
A game where you had the tying runner on second with no outs, and you didn't try to bunt him over once. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's great segue to my point is our – hitting on the road is super suspect, I guess the best way to put it, because sometimes you hit bombs, but then sometimes you do it at a bad time and hit into a double play before the bomb. And what I've noticed a lot this year, you just leave a lot of guys on base. Like, you might get a hit, but then you don't do anything with it. And then obviously to piggyback on how bad the bullpen is, like, a 7-0 lead is not safe.
Yeah.
A 12-4 lead is not safe. Like, you had a 12-0 lead against Stanford a couple weeks ago. Not safe. That's really where it's like, I mean, I think we have scored literally the same amount of runs we've given up this year. And not in a good way, because we're scoring a lot.
Yeah, we're like a top 10 offense.
And we're literally a 500 team because of that.
We're a top 10 offense, but those numbers are inflated because of how we play when we're at home. And
sure.
You score like double digits.
Scoring 15 a game.
You scored 30 runs in a game earlier this season. You scored 29. You scored 20 runs. Like, you've been able to score all sorts of runs when you're at home, but when you go on the road, it's like you can barely manufacture 2-3 runs. It's like,
yeah, the inconsistency,
especially in conference,
sucks.
Especially in conference play, like at home versus Houston, you know, we're winning those games 15-12 and whatever. And then you go on the road at TCU and you finally get your pitching staff to hold TCU to like 4 runs. And then all of a sudden your offense can't score 7-8 runs. Like you kind of come accustomed to. The situational hitting is bad. I watched some at bats that you're just like, what are you swinging at? Some awful strikeouts, some poor coaching decisions sometimes. I'm done with Gardner. I don't know the specifics behind the coaching staff or the pitching staff and what all goes into it. But this is like the third, fourth straight year we're complaining about the pitching being like it is. And, and it's broke. You got to do something to fix it. And so otherwise, it feels like you're going to kind of be in a similar situation as you were the previous years. If you make the NCAA tournament, you're probably going to be a three seed. You know, playing in some regional.
At this point, we just got to try to get in.
Yeah. And the season's still kind of in front of you. Like, the three teams on your schedule in the Big 12 Conference are the three teams that are at the top of the conference. You got West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma left. So, you know, if you can put it together and win those series, like, you're going to end up having a tournament-worthy resume. Obviously, stealing one against Arkansas would have been a huge resume win for you, but
yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how this team closes this season out after a four-game losing streak. I don't remember the last time we lost four games in a row under Tadlock. It's been a long time. And so frustrating season for baseball. The ball just doesn't seem to bounce our way. Like you said, hit into a double play and then hit a home run right after. Like, stuff like that just keeps happening. You have in the Tuesday game, you had two ground outs that you couldn't get the outs on, and all of a sudden you have runners on first and second when Arkansas is trying to win the game. Then you walk a batter, and now you have the bases loaded. Just simple things sometimes that we can't do. And so a frustrating season for Texas Tech baseball fans, and so wanted to touch base on that. We'll touch base on it as the season continues. We obviously haven't been spending a whole lot of time on it as – has been a struggle, and haven't been super focused on it, you know, just trying to, for our own mental well-being, just kind of trying to stay away from some of the frustrations of that. But before we get out of here for the week, Dustin, you have any final shot for us?
I was going to swerve into your lane a little bit, and NBA playoffs, or play-ins, play-ins have started. The playoffs are around
not the
corner.
Yet.
We're doing play-ins and play-outs right now, and then there's a play-in playoff tomorrow. Yeah. does LeBron and Zion play in the play-in every year?
They didn't play last year. Last year, the Lakers played the Timberwolves.
Oh, but LeBron's in there a lot. Zion's in there a lot.
But yeah, both teams were also in the play-ins last year.
I'm always like, maybe they don't play each other, but are they always in this?
It kind of feels
like it. That's the first thing I thought watching the game last night.
Yeah, that definitely feels like it. But Lakers get the win. I don't know how I feel about – it's kind of like you obviously don't try to lose.
You get the win in the seventh seed. Congratulations, here's the Nuggets.
Yeah. It's like you obviously don't play to lose, but, man, I would rather the Lakers be facing Oklahoma City because – Oklahoma City doesn't have the size to stop the Lakers, and the Lakers really did well against them in the season. Feels like the Nuggets are going to – maybe they can get a game against them. They didn't last year.
Yeah, the Mavs are the 5 seed playing the Clippers, so that'll be a fun series. Mavs are hot.
Yeah.
So hoping they can keep that going.
The third playoff matchup between the Clippers and the Mavs in like the last handful of years. So that'll – we'll see if Luka can get it done against them this time. I mean, I haven't really – I haven't really paid attention to the – I mean, I obviously pay attention. I know what's going on in the NBA, but I haven't really tuned in and watched any NBA really this season. Last night
was like the first game I watched all year, which is pretty typical. I usually wait till the playoffs.
I usually like to keep up with stuff during the season.
You usually keep up way more.
But, yeah, I mean, I always know what's going on because I do listen to podcasts and I'm familiar with everything that's going on. But, last night was probably the – besides the play-in turn – or the – in-season tournament. That was really the most basketball that I've watched this year.
Yeah.
My final shot, or is that – are you wrapped up with that? My final shot is going to the Masters was this past weekend, and Red Raider fans across the country were locked into their TVs watching Ludwig go at it. He was second place in the Masters, his first ever Masters, his first ever championship round of golf, and he finished second to Scottie Scheffler, who is a machine, is just an incredible golfer. But pretty impressive weekend for Ludwig, watching him play golf. Is he's really fun to watch. Did you get to watch any of him or experience his Masters at all?
Yeah, Ludovic had a good weekend when he was in second. I was coming back from a wedding in the Dallas area. Girlfriend was driving, so I had the phone on watching the Masters. And yeah, I was hoping he could keep it within range, and then he hit that one into the water.
Dude, my heart broke.
And that just, the other problem was, and I texted our group, like, Scotty just wasn't going to mess up to give Doug, you know, Morikawa and Ludvig a chance. And that's really what it was. Like, Ludvig stayed within, you know, 2-3 shots most of the rest of the time. And then Scotty's like, well, I'm just going to stay up here, not mess up.
Yeah.
And he was just too good and didn't mess up. And Morikawa and Ludvig had one mess up each. That was like a double bogey. And that took them both out.
And same with Homa, who was in it there too at the stretch.
Did you see that shot though? He hits the green and it somehow takes a weird shanky bounce into the bushes.
And it's out of bounds.
That sucks.
That's just terrible.
That's some stuff we would do. Like, hey, I hit a good drive. Now I can't find my ball.
Yeah. And that's annoying. That'd be maddening. But yeah, I was just really impressed watching him. He's really fun to watch golf. Like, he's pretty locked in. He's pretty smooth. I love how his approach, he just kind of gets up there, looks at the ball, gets up, swings it. but yeah, like you said, he hit that great shot and then a great putt to tie the lead. And then right after, Scottie Scheffler just hits an even better shot in your side, man. You have to play absolutely perfect. And unfortunately for Ludvig, he hit that water shot, but it was still able to finish second overall in his Masters debut. He's only 24 years old, so I'm sure a green jacket's in his future, and some open championships are in his future if he keeps playing that way. Really fun to watch, and all Red Raider Nation will be supporting him as he continues his journeys, but wanted to shout him out for that performance. It was really fun. Really fun to be invested in him in the Masters. So looking forward to watching him years to come. But that will do it for us this week here at Tailgate Talks. Lots to discuss this week since we took last week off. And so we hope you enjoyed our conversation about the players coming into Texas Tech, a little baseball talk, and, of course, our final shots. And to catch everything we're doing through this the summer where, you know, sports are slowing down and our podcast might be slowing down a little bit, but we'll try to find fun and interesting things to talk about. You got to follow us. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5-star ratings. 5 stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, we always appreciate a review. Follow our social media accounts. We're on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and interacting. But if you want to give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, you should. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.